Well, welcome back to the Zeitcast. So I am in a magical place. I want you to know that from about 1 mile up the road, I was able to get a diet cherry lemon sun drop. All the toxins. Savannah, I cannot imagine anything that is more devastating.
To your system?
No, this is like, it is just pure chemical. Mm-hmm. I mean, it may turn me into the Joker. I don't care.
Even the red.
Even the red. I think it has red and yellow dyes in it. I think it's hard to do.
It's so good. I have no judgment. Every time I'm in an airplane, I'm always like Coke Zero, even though I know it's so bad for me.
Yeah, whatever. Some things we do choose that you as wide open. It's like, I still choose it. So I'm at Savannah and Todd's house. It's absolutely magical out here in the country in greater Nashville. Such a beautiful spot. Thank you so much for letting me come and get to do this here.
And it needs to be said that I am preheating the room for Jonathan's hero.
Yep.
Rustaf.
And what's wild about that, this is really true, Samantha. You're such a grounding presence for me. I really feel like I am less likely to say something really awkward.
Fingers crossed.
Because there's just a fine line between respectful fanboying and I think this person is going to try to cut off a lock of my hair.
Oh my God.
And I'm afraid that it could.
No, I totally get it.
It could feel a little bit like that.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, yeah. So now, like, no, this is perfect. This is keeping me calm.
It's keeping you grounded in the earth. Yes.
And so I feel like you need no introduction to, I mean, even back the old version of the podcast, Son of a Preacher Man, for anybody who's been around. Mm-hmm. So Savannah, in addition to being one of my all-time favorite people, also just truly one of my all-time favorite singers. I am really speaking to existence, because I talk like that with you. You and Russ doing some kind of a duet, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You both have a thing on your voice. Like, he doesn't have, like, your reverb, but it's like, there's a thing. I could I can hear it. It would just be.
I believe you.
I'm just saying. And you didn't grow up on Russ. You're a little younger than me, so it wasn't quite in the prime.
No, Michael W. Smith is my guy.
Oh, yeah.
Smitty.
Yeah. Yep. That was my first, like, big concert tour was, like a closest thing to, like, arena rock show was Michael W. Smith and the I'll Lead You Home tour with Jars of Clay opening, and their first album had come out, like, 3 months before.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I was in high school.
Oh, my gosh. That's wild.
You'll appreciate this because I feel like, you know, well, and even, like, I have that little chapter in Roadway from God, It's Good to Be a Fan, and, you know, so, like, I own this, like, my fanboy. Yeah. So you will appreciate this, and it's just not the kind of thing that comes up a lot. The one time I met Bono in 2017, Dan from Jars was doing these, like, one campaign dinners beforehand. Mm-hmm. So during the show, because he was there, Michael W. Smith was there, him and Michael W. Smith watched the show with me and my friend Steven down in the pit. And I had this moment where it's like every stage of me is geeking out because Michael W. Smith and Dan are, like, right here. That was my first, like, arena concert. U2's on the stage. During Still Found I'm Looking For, Bono says, we're going to take it to church now, the church of Michael W. Smith. And I'm just like, but it was just crazy because I'm like, every level of me from childhood on is, like, freaking out all at one time. It was just actually, like, too much stimulation. It was kind of like, I was so, like, it was too much.
You were like, and I just wept.
Yeah,
I wept.
Yeah. No, it was a little intense for me. So thankfully, Savannah, even in the little bit of time we've got to catch up, you've brought things back to the Lord.
To the Lord.
Like, Savannah, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, let's talk about the power of prayer.
That's so funny. I mean, we can talk about celebrity gossip if you now, want to do. Well, I can go down that
I feel like it can all Trump talks about the weave. The brilliance of the weave. I feel like we can do the weave. But we were talking a little bit about prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Savannah, you just run. You just flow. Because you're talking about a little bit about kind of the way that's changed for you and how that looks different. Prayer, yeah. The lack thereof sometimes. I think that's a great
prayer,
place to
lack
jump in.
Thereof. Yeah. Well, because I was telling Jonathan, you know, it occurred to me this morning, I don't think I've talked to God in a little bit. Like, I think it's just been a while. And it's so weird how, like, I do not at all believe that these things are disintegrated.
Yeah,
so I think that, yes, I do talk to God even without knowing it or whatever. Like, and I'm experiencing God and encountering God in different interactions with people or creativity and all that stuff. So I'm not saying but I do think that there's something to be said about, like, intention around saying, like, God, like, I'm going to make space here for you to influence my life.
Yeah.
And that, for me, prayer is, like, what that is.
Sure.
Is, like, making space for God to have a say in things.
That's a great phrase.
And it's, like, a lot of the times I'm the only one who is having a say in stuff. And I know God is in me and God is guiding that. So I know it's a tag team effort. But there is something to be said about getting an autopilot. And sometimes if we don't let God disrupt us.
Yeah.
Then we just keep on going in the same patterns. And so for me, what I'm realizing, like, literally just today, I noticed, like, oh, okay, like, I have not made space for God to have a say lately. And I need to do that. And that, for me, like, involves a lot of stillness and silence.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question, is really wondering, what does that look like for you when saving God having a say? So for you, it's more quiet.
It's stillness, and it's a lot of, like, for me, it's very visual. So, like, I'll sit in a lot of stillness, or, like, even if I'm driving in the car, and just ask God for, like, a visual, because I'm so visual in my brain. And words sometimes feel very difficult for me to access, because I'm an extremely internal processor.
Sure.
And so images are a lot easier for me to handle.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for me, it involves a lot of imagery. Do you ever do, like, imagery, or are you more word?
I feel like I... Yes, and because images are helpful for me, but I also feel like I'm relentlessly verbal. I mean, that's just true of everything for me. Everything kind of comes down to words in some way. So it's almost like the visual part of me, I feel like I forget, and I almost have to be jolted. It almost has to, like, something happens to me. I see something. I am trying to be a little more intentional about that, because actually, okay, for starting these little chapel services, I'm doing it at DePaul. For those, I got this icon of Jesus. It's like, I think it's from, like, 3rd century. I mean, obviously not an original.
Yeah.
But it's
he's like, I stole it from the Met.
Yes, I got it from the Met. It's like the Great Muppet Caper. We came in and kind of, like, it's but I mean, it's really beautiful. And I'm realizing, like, oh, I like to put that out when I pray. I've got a really beautiful cross right now. I like to put out when I pray. I'm learning that lighting a candle can be helpful for me in the same way you do in the liturgical space of just, like, it's a reminder of God's presence. Always here, but there's something about lighting it that reminds me. So I'm trying to integrate that more.
Yeah. Like, the visual thing, I love that you said, like, that you just noticed, I really like the intuition involved in that, and, like, the feeling part.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the times, too, prayer can feel dead for me, which I think is normal. Like, like, there's no way that every single time you talk to God, it's going to feel like this massive, like, experience.
Yeah.
In the same way that every time I talk to you, or every time I talk to my husband, or every time I talk to my friends, I can't expect for it to be this life-changing experience. And so there's something good, though, about noticing, like, oh, when I talk to you here, or when I talk to you this way, like, I'm able to drop down into my heart and my body more. And I love that, like, you notice that and are following that.
Is that more, so you mentioned the quiet and stillness. What, not looking for percentage necessarily, but could be. So is it feeling connected? Do you feel like you need to get it out of your system first? You need to say a lot of things. Is it more just simply getting that place of absolute stillness? Like, what does it kind of take for you to get into that place of intentionality, that kind of connection?
So, okay. So this is what I told my therapist that my life feels like a lot of the time, is that in the beginning of the day, I, like, start with a big hole, and I see that hole as a good thing in the ground. Like, it's a big hole with tons of space and room. And seriously, by noon, it's like a huge hill because there's so much dirt that gets thrown into it because like just the nature of like my work that I do with like social media stuff.
Sure.
And then also having multiple jobs that I do.
Yeah.
Plus having like a very amazing, vibrant community around here. I'm getting like a lot of calls, a lot of texts, and then having a husband, having two dogs, taking care of our house, and like all of these things get like piled in and by noon I'm overloaded.
Mm.
And so for me, like it is about like my heart is feels like it's at the bottom of that hole and I have to like move that stuff away before I can access it.
Yeah.
Because I get very like task oriented and very overwhelmed by all of the external factors. Plus external factors like dirt that I put in myself where it's like, I'm going to check for the 100th time today. Like for me, like early voting stats in Pennsylvania. And it's I'm adding all of that information. Or like this morning, I literally thought to myself, like, Savannah, no wonder why you're feeling disconnected.
Mm.
I wake up. What is the first thing I do? I go to my phone,
which
I got out of that habit. And now apparently I'm back in because it's 7:20. I was watching like this girl who is a student flight trainer or student flight person. And the wheels on her plane fell off.
Wow.
So she couldn't land. And so this man who was like an expert had to get on the, her like intercom and train her how to get down in real time. So I'm like watching this video at 7:20 in the morning crying, which is beautiful. But I'm why am I doing this at 7:20 in the morning?
I didn't know if you were bringing that into a metaphor. I don't know if that was about to be a metaphor.
No,
for
not
prayer.
A metaphor at all. No, my metaphor is you don't need to be on Instagram at 7:20 in the morning.
No, that's great.
That is putting dirt on your pile.
Yeah.
So for me, prayer is getting that dirt out and getting back to the hole.
For sure.
Yes.
For
what about, does that like hit deep at all? Do you tend to overload?
1,000%. And I'm way overstimulated in general. I'm too bad about doing the phone first. I'm always experimenting because it's so hard for me and it's such, my ADHD is so resistant to routines and habits, though I desperately need them. This is what you most need, but then you also resist. I feel like it is important for me not to do that first thing when possible. I'm even learning for me. I actually think even though I'm not right now, I'm in such a tornado. I feel I've never been so all over. But generally, I think some kind of movement, exercise for me is actually really ideal first because it's like really clears the brain waves for prayer. So I think ideally it's like that, then some kind of prayer.
Brilliant.
I'm really it's so interesting for me because I guess I am always still trying to discern. I mean, you know, everything from Brian Zahn's, the liturgy that he uses that he teaches for like prayer schools is really helpful. So that's been one I've used a good bit and leaning on stuff a little bit more from like the Book of Common Prayer. But something that's real fascinating for me now, and I don't think this is like the end all and be all. I think it's more, it has more to do with where I come from and then what I need. Because most of my life, I feel like I was so preoccupied with getting the words right and the language right to the point where I'll never forget having a professor in this little Christian education class. It was kind of, it was kind of hokey, but it was sort of, it was all this, like she would highlight the wrong phrases, stuff to use in prayer, which for something like me is the worst because I'm such a little legalist and rule follower at heart anyway. But it's like, don't pray God be with the missionaries because God's already with the missionaries. If you say this, will the Psalms say, and I'm already in my head about this stuff. And then it'll be like, oh, wait, it's things I wouldn't think consciously about now, but I don't think I prayed in the name of Jesus. Will God not have accepted this prayer if I didn't say in the name of Jesus? Like, I tend to get weird about that anyway. Am I doing it right?
Yeah.
So for me, it's been interesting adapting some of those liturgical prayers because it's hard to explain to people. I don't think it's at all what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount in terms of vain repetitions as the heathen do. Yeah. No, it's very different, but it's like, I mean, I can say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me 50 times, and it means something different every time. And it's, I don't know, maybe it's something more like, almost like singing or something. Like, you kind of know what's kind of in the notes.
Yeah.
And so I'm finding it consistently liberating for me to return to some of those prayers.
Nice.
Yeah. But let them always mean something else.
Yeah.
Now I'm praying for healing for somebody, but it's still, well, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy. And you know what I mean? It's like you're like returning to like simple phrases and stuff. But again, I think that's just been for me, it's a way of getting out of my head.
Yeah.
In the same way of growing up in a context with speaking tongues and all that. I think it's a way of bypassing the intellect. You know?
Yeah, so, a way of bypassing, yes. and giving you like a structure that maybe you need so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. That yeah. like that is like a verbal routine.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That's right.
And I
That's
can see
right.
how that could be super helpful for you.
Yeah.
I don't know why those liturgies never work for me. Like I'm in like the Book of Common Prayer and all that. Like I have plenty of prayer books like with all of the like prayers for this, prayer for that. Yeah. And there's only one instance I can think of where I remember reading it and being like, I needed this so badly. But most of the time I'm thinking like I wouldn't say it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's interesting. That's the conscious thought. And I hear that.
I'm just like, this feels like I'm saying someone else's words. Yeah. It versus like feeling like it's something that like I really like feel, I don't know, is like true or authentic between me and God. But the time where it did, like, it gave me such like a helpful like anchor point was, and I feel like, oh my gosh, I never talk about it. And then I talk about it every time when I'm with you. But after Todd and I witnessed that suicide, my friend gave me a book, like Every Moment Holy, I think is what it was called or something. I have no idea what the brand name is, but she bookmarked one for after witnessing a death.
Wow.
And it was so specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember one of the paragraphs in that prayer was, I keep on replaying scenes in my mind. And that was exactly what was happening to me. And I remember reading that being like, this is normal. This is like what everyone like has been experiencing. So I do think like I can see the value in those like prayers. But prayer's just hard. And the thing is, like, there is not a tried and true recipe that works for everyone.
No, I so believe that. I so believe that there's not. And I think part of, I know like for me, what's been a bit of a shift in that way is that, because I want everything to feel so earnest and sincere, but there again, I feel like I was always preoccupied with, am I being earnest enough? Am I 63% sincere? Is that good enough? Do I really mean it? And so now part of the thing that has helped me, because see, I think now it's like I've been within some liturgical structure just long enough to start to get rewired a little where I have this sense of like, okay, I think these prayers other people have prayed actually do the heavy lifting and the connection is just there regardless of how much I'm just not thinking quite so much anymore about whether or not my heart is in it enough.
Yes.
So that's been helpful. But I do think, you know, not everybody is carried the same way kind of into prayer. And actually, I do feel like it's a season probably for me where I'm feeling a little nudge to rediscover that kind of spontaneous prayer of just needing to like, let's just talk to God. Let's just kind of, you know.
Which I do a lot of that too, like in the car. I'll kind of just like talk to God. Like it's like not reverent. It feels like irreverent, but I'll literally just be like, here's the deal. Like, I'm freaking out about this. I'm feeling stressed about that.
Yeah.
This is like weighing heavy on my heart. What do I do here? And just kind of like lay it all out there and then just wait and see what comes to mind.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's like a familiarity that feels so comforting to me in prayer.
Yeah.
Versus like we'd go to a liturgical church. So every Sunday we like we read the prayers and we do all the stuff. And that feels very reverent and holy in like a good way. And like my car prayers feel very like I'm talking to a friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
After a brief break where my memory card fell out, we'll jump back in.
The stuff that people would really want to hear though.
It's kind of like, oh, that's so true. I know. It's like the legit stuff.
We were you in the middle of
you were about to say something, but I know that I jumped in.
Oh no, I know the question. I think I was trying to ask you, when you haven't had that time of connection, like you were feeling, do you still feel like you have to process a whole shame thing? Do you have to like work your way through like some of this again? I think is my ADHD thing even more than a spiritual thing, where it's like, why haven't you texted or emailed this person back? Because I didn't yesterday. And now I'm in such a shame spiral.
Yeah.
It's like a whole thing to be coped with before. Do you feel like you do that? Or do you feel like it's more like, oh, no, I'm missing this. I can just kind of step back into the river. And it's
good. Thanks for saying that. Because I have heard a lot of people with ADHD have that. Overwhelm.
Yeah.
The overwhelm of I'm not doing a good enough job keeping up.
Right.
And then that prevents you from doing things imperfectly.
Yeah, or anything.
Just jumping in at all.
Yeah, yeah. Stay in the driveway.
Aww. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. That's really tender. For me, I think that, no, like this morning when I noticed it, I was just sort of like, huh, like this is worth noticing. Because for me now, like the way that I'm like understanding God more as an adult is like, this is hurting me.
Yeah,
like this isn't like...
Yeah.
making God mad. This is hurting me. Mm-hmm. Like, not being in connection with God, like, is not the way that I'm, like, living at my fullest. And so I just need to make an adjustment. It really does feel like, and I'm happy you mentioned physical exercise too, because a couple of years ago, I started being very consistent with working out for, like, mental health reasons.
Sure.
And now it's like, I notice if I do not go to the gym in a day. Like, I just notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I'm like, oh, like, I hate my body or whatever.
Sure.
It's now like, I am better when I am, when I have done a 60-minute workout.
Yeah, sure.
And so, like, that's what it feels like for me. Yeah. I don't know. Do you feel that guilt with your ADHD brain?
Yeah, I think I'm getting better about it with God, because I really do think at this point, my mind has changed so much about the fundamental character of God to where, but it's still a default setting that I have to, it's a thing I always have to wade through a little. Like, why are you not praying this way today? Because I didn't yesterday and now I feel bad. I do feel like I come out of that a lot faster now, and probably more so with God than any other relationship, because like you're saying, it's more, but see, this is the interesting thing about you in general, Savannah. I feel like you have so many, like, so many of your defaults are healthy. Whereas I feel like so many of my defaults are not healthy, but I feel like you gravitate towards character of God, goodness of God, you're just not angsty about everything all the time.
I don't feel angsty. I don't feel angsty. I do think with God, I obviously it took work to get here, and it took like me having a faith fall apart.
Yeah,
but like, now it's either God being good or me not being in.
Yeah.
So like, it's not an option for God to be evil, or at least evil behind the scenes, and me believe in God. Like, I God is good, and God looks like Jesus, or I am not following God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what I've like learned in that process, I think, is to like train my brain that like God looks like Jesus.
Yeah.
God looks like Jesus. And what that means is like with this prayer thing, like, God looks like Jesus. Jesus wants to be in connection with me.
Yeah.
And for me to not do that is always going to be my choice.
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing it, it's always like going to hurt me more than it's going to like make him want to like hit me with lightning bolts or something like that. But I will say, like, relationally, like with friends, that's where you start to see my bad defaults. That is where I get codependent.
Oh, interesting. Okay. But you've codependence? Is it, how so? Like, what does that look like?
Well, you're codependent too, right? Enneagram 2?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm a 4, but I go to 2 in stress. And so my default is if anyone is mad at me, then I am not okay. Like legitimately, I feel like I lose myself.
Sure, no, me too.
It's brutal.
What is Todd Enneagram wise?
1.
Okay.
Just an anchor.
I've read that, because we might have talked about this, how, because I have so much 7 energy. It's been kind of revelatory for me to really like, no, I am a 2.
Yeah.
And that engine is strong.
I mean, you 1,000% are, because you texted me whenever you said that you couldn't sleep over last night.
Yeah.
And you were worried that I had done something to prepare.
Yep.
And I was like, this is so intense.
Oh, yeah.
Like, your brain is thinking of things that I might have done. And being afraid of disappointing.
Nicole freaks out at this, because she's like the most, she's an 8 anyway, but she's a very direct communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And any text, it's why I often do their long gaps in communication. Again, like, you're one of those people I feel very comfortable with, but it's like, the reason it'll happen is because for me, responding to a text or email means all of that. Mm-hmm. I have to run through all the disclaimers, all the things I might have done wrong. I'm cataloging all. I need to acknowledge them in some way. I do that every time.
Yeah.
Where it's like, so I can't, it can't just be like, what time are you coming over for dinner? 6.
It's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I missed this text from you last week. And I went, instead of just like starting fresh.
So then everything takes so much longer, because there's so much over explaining that I feel like I have to
do. Which is so overwhelming.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and
that's,
it makes sense why you just don't do it.
Yeah. So then which is why then I end up getting shut down.
And then perpetuate the cycle.
And that's right.
Yeah, that's hard.
So, which, not derail from the prayer thing, but is interesting, because our personalities, like, we bring this to bear in the, I mean, it's not, they are really connected. But I don't know, even the thing of you kind of not having the angst and stuff, and this is just a riff. I'd be curious what you say about this. Because I do have a lot of conversations with people who are trying to figure out, like, oh, sort of like, well, what does prayer look like on the other side of my deconstruction or this or that or whatever.
Right.
And I have nothing but tenderness, of course, to people who feel triggered, traumatized, whatever word they would use for, well, you know, because that's what this looked like for me.
Yeah.
before. But at this point, I think part of why, because I don't have angst around those things the same way. It's all personality.
Yeah,
it's all.
Yeah.
I think I'm just so convinced at this point, the toxic stuff. I'm like, but that actually has nothing to do with Jesus.
Right.
That's actually not Christianity.
Right.
Those things are co-opted.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's not true.
Yeah.
I now honestly think of it as like, they're using the same language,
yeah.
but this has nothing to do with my faith, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish sometimes I could give people a dose of that, especially when it comes around prayer and all that kind of stuff, in terms of not with judgment, but something more like, okay, understand that all of that never had anything to do with connecting with the divine. It never did,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think if you come to see it that way, well, that's just not what it is.
It's like seeing, like thinking about Jesus being our great high priest,
yes.
like Jesus being our mediator.
Yes.
Like what you're saying right now is hitting me as like, we don't need other mediators.
Right. Yeah.
And we don't need other mediums or like
that's
magic
right.
language
yeah.
that
yeah.
would be this certain way of prayer to connect to God. Like Jesus is that mediator.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is like all of the extra stuff is just extra stuff.
That's right. That's right.
Like Jesus is what we need.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I sound so evangelical at the moment.
Yeah, no.
But it's like the most liberating thing to just be able to say, like, this is the anchor point here
that's
to
right.
God.
That's right.
And all of the extra stuff, if it helps, great.
Yep.
But
that's
if it
right.
becomes a pressure cooker, then it's the opposite. It's like you not responding to the text at all.
Absolutely. But if Jesus is for us, and I know I feel that way, that Jesus is oxygen, then I think it's more like, okay, if you want this, you should come.
Yep.
If you're hungry, you should
1,000%.
You get to, and you get to just do that. And you get to like, you get to step right in from wherever you are.
Yeah.
And there doesn't need to be apologies and disclaimers and explanations. And it is.
And that's exhausting on the other end of it. Not that God gets exhausted or whatever, but like in this situation, like you even being stressed about this, I just thought to myself, like, I'm not stressed about this. So like, you don't need to be stressed about this.
But in my two-ness, I'm stressed at all times in all directions with regards to relationships.
But did I not literally text you? I texted you and I was like, be at peace.
Yeah.
I was like, just live your life in peace.
Yeah.
And I tell my dogs this all the time when they bark. I'm like, Bentley and Prudence, be at peace.
Be at peace. That's
like,
great.
You do not need to be all up in arms about stuff.
Yeah.
And I do imagine that God feels similarly, where it's like, just be at peace.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happier here.
Yeah.
And thinking about like with prayer and with just connecting with God, like for me this morning, saying like, God is happy I'm here. God's happy I'm waking up, even if I've been asleep for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And we can pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
And so there's like a freedom that comes from that I think is the character.
What you're saying is ground floor to me, this notion that God is always delighted to see us.
Yeah.
And any of us, and I know a lot of people have had bad experiences with elders, but have you ever had a parent, a grandparent, one figure in your life, one authority figure that was healthy, then you know they don't want to hear all that.
No.
They don't need it.
Yeah.
And honestly, if they do, it doesn't make them a bad person.
Yeah.
They're probably not good at being an elder.
Yeah.
Like if you're easily butthurt about like, oh, well, you didn't send me a card.
Right.
If that's how you are.
Yeah.
Like if people that really delight in their kids or their grandkids or, you know, somebody they mentor, however it happens.
Yeah.
They don't do that. They don't get, and it's like when you come to really believe that God is like that, it's just like, oh no, I just came in the door.
Exactly.
And
the door is open.
Yeah. And that's a thrill. God delights in us. It's not just us delighting God. God delights in us. If you really believe that, that shifts so much. So it's great for me because even though that's not my default setting in any other relationship, I think I have finally come to a place where I do think of God as a sanctuary from that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, like, well, God doesn't need to hear.
Exactly. The disclaimer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Here's all the things I did. And I still turned off a little because I fight it. Like that kind of like, oh, well, you know, then there was traffic, you know, kind of like.
You're like, God, you saw the traffic,
right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, Todd and I, when we were driving down like the road, like, because like half the time I'm not sure if God is real. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
I'm like honest. So
A couple
of months ago, we were driving down the road and our skies are like huge. Like you can see everything because we're just like in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The moon was massive.
Mm.
And Todd and I stopped on the side of the road and just stared at the moon like in silence. And I was like, if God made this, God understands why I don't believe in him.
Yeah.
Like God gets why it's hard for me.
Wow.
And like God gets like if I believe in like 50% of the right things, like God has to get this and God has to know that I'm trying.
Yeah.
And I just remember driving away, like staring at the moon, just saying, like, you know, I'm trying.
Yeah.
Like, he gets so it. And there's, like, something so, like, majestic about the fact that God is, like, so big that I just don't think God is, like, up in arms about, like, us being late or, like, the traffic or forgetting to text back.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, any moment that we, like, kind of course correct is a joy.
The casual way that you just said that is one of the reasons I feel like I so understand you and feel, like, connected more, like, intuitively. The casual way you just said, because we're talking about prayer and how this kind of is this kind of like ground floor of reality. You're like, now, I mean, how about half the time? I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if any of it's true. But then, because see, this is.
Isn't it true, though?
Oh, this is my life at all times, because there is an intellectual cerebral part of me that's never quite sure and maybe as uncertain as anybody is. And yet it's almost like this weird way that God has become reality to me.
Yes.
In a way that's a little bit deeper than that.
Yes. Yeah.
To the point, this I feel like this is scandalous for people sometimes. People will try to talk to me about any sort of apologetic kind of things. Not even like Josh McDowell apologetics. Serious stuff. Like more like, and I'm kind of like, because it's almost like, what do you really believe, like, about, you know, that there's an eternal soul or what? I don't know.
It's like, you're brilliant. I love that for you. And, like, it's not going to do anything for me.
No.
Like, it's, like, interesting to, like, tickle my brain.
That's right.
But, like, for that reality, I love you said, like, deeper reality.
Because it's like,
I'm so bought in, but I'm also so open-handed where I realize, like, I do not know this all.
And it's almost like, those questions, I just don't think that way anymore in terms of, like, well, what's literally true? Almost like, well, who cares? I think it's almost more like, God does feel like oxygen to me in that way.
Yeah.
In a way, like, for me, this is, there's an isness that I return to that goes deeper than those kinds of questions. That doesn't mean that I know how any of it works or what it looks like. And if other people aren't there, then, like, that's completely fine. There really isn't judgment. But it's more like, for me, that just, like, I don't know. It just runs a little more, a little deeper, a little more thick than that. But I just love that you're able to very casually shift between... And this is why I need this connection, and I miss it when I don't have it, and wanting to be intentional.
Yeah.
But still, half the time, I don't know
if
I think any of it's real.
Yes. Like, I know. But I'm like obviously kind of betting my life on it, but but also very aware of, like, the of not knowing, like, a lot of the times. But there are those moments, like, I feel like every time I get on the edge where I'm seriously like, wait a second, is this for real made up?
Yeah. Yeah,
there are those moon moments where I'll just be like swept up, and I realize, I don't know. Anyways, well, this is a fun convo on prayer.
It makes me so happy, because I just, that is it for me, because I have the moon moments a lot, and not everybody takes those things seriously.
Yeah,
if anything, I might take them too seriously because I'll admit I think about the wise men a lot in that way, whatever sort of astrological figures they are.
Yeah,
I am kind of looking for the message in the stars.
Yeah. Yeah,
not necessarily astrologically, but very much like, what I'm always thinking, what does this mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Relentlessly putting narratives together.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go more than 20 minutes without, I mean, I'm going to hear a song when I walk into a restaurant that makes me feel like there's That's meaning to everything.
Yes. You know?
So, like,
everything's connected.
I can't outrun that.
No, same.
And it's not piety. It's more like, well, I can't outrun it.
If the signs are there, the signs are there.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know. Obviously, we have another conversation coming.
Listen, you have rest coming. I'm nervous for you.
I know it's going to be great. You've got to be in the right headspace.
Yes. Okay, good.
But even saying that about kind of like meaning and the signs, come like, what's a moment like that for you recently? I'd love to land there. Like, we're just a moment of like, there it is. There you are. You know.
Yeah, there it is. There you are. I do love that. I think for me, that has probably come through people the most lately, of like people seeing me and kind of saying like, I see where you are and I see like what you're doing and how you're working. I think a lot of the times I live my life feeling like no one's seeing me, or like, sometimes I don't even feel like I'm seeing myself. Like, I'm just so like wandering around. But I think about, this is so silly, but this conversation that I had yesterday with this guy, and he like does video work, and he was like, I like, my business partner and I saw you do this interview and we see that you could be really good at this.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's like, that's something that I've always like wanted to do is do like fun, like video form content, blah, 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 that like my idea is to do this thing called bunny trails where people bring like bunny trails they're following lately, like just about anything random that they're obsessed with, and I'll like obsess over it with them and we'll like learn about it together.
Fascinating.
And so like I've just kind of had this idea in mind and they were like, we love that idea. Like, let's chase that. And I just thought to myself like, oh, like I didn't think anyone saw this in me. But then this person did. And then I thought like God sees this in me too. So for me, that was probably like a moment where I was like, oh, I'm not totally like wandering alone on this like floating rock in space. On this floating rock in the middle of space.
Not to wrap this up with a bow, but Savannah, this, it's so profound to me because I just think there's so many things that we project onto what a relationship with God is supposed to mean or be. Where it's like, okay, you actually have to get that from people. This is what I believe about the confess your sins one another. Not because you need that to be forgiven. No, you need the visceral experience of a tangible person knowing about it and being like, and they still love you.
You're
the
loved.
Same. And because of that, then you think, then you can believe that God does. But I think for so many of us, that's still so segregated.
I agree.
And there's not permission to, God sees me because someone else sees me. And not in a preachy way, but it's why if we don't, when we're not in community, then everything falls off the, goes off the rails in this way too, because like, well, like if no person sees you and knows you, then how I promise it's not going to fall from the sky.
How does this invisible entity explain to us? And I know there are like mystical, like revelations, whatever, but to your point, like we need each other for that, like sonar therapy where it's like, can you mirror back to me and like help me understand like who I am and what God's doing in me and all that. I don't know. I that doesn't feel like super deeply spiritual, but that I did feel very seen yesterday in that. And I was like, okay, I feel connected.
But it is really spiritual. And I think to, the permission even to like to recognize that as spiritual and to recognize that, like to be seen is to be seen. And it's kind of, because I just feel like people have these experiences all the time, but this is the this is another version of the, you know, the whole Jacob sort of, you know, surely God was here and I did not know it. It's like, no, God is here. If you have a anybody in your life that does that. Then God is there, but we may just, I feel like a lot of times don't have the structural framework to be able to say, well, this is how God sees and knows me is that people do.
Yeah, because people do. I love that.
That's gorgeous. Well, thank you for this time, Savannah. This is wonderful.
Letting me preheat this room for the great rust chop.
The room is saturated. I'm still trusting and believing for a duet to happen.
Lord, let it happen.
I think there's grace.
That's our
for
prayer.
Sure. That's it. So we'll see. Now we'll see. Now it's on record.
Now that we're connected. To the divine.
That's right.
God will hear.
So we'll see if it manifests, and then people. That's amazing.
And then that will prove that prayer / God are real.
Is real. Or people will be like, it's all a lie. There is no hope.
This is my version of the rapture.
There's no meaning in existence.
Yeah, like, this is my version of predicting the rapture.
That's great. Yeah, it is. I like that's great. Thank you, Savannah. This is wonderful. Thank you, friends.